from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's up, Goo?
What's up, baby? Yeah, I was just ripping Ken.
Oh, you should. Fun with him. He deserves it. He roots for the Dolphins.
You know what? I went and watched that video again.
You don't know what he was talking
about. Yeah, the Brandon Ayuk video. There was too much euphoria coming from Kyle for it to be a trade. Like, that was a deal's done. It's coming. Just like a baby. It's coming.
Well, yeah, but we don't know if it's coming, you know, now or in 6 months. Like, when's the baby due?
Hopefully today.
Well, yeah, I don't need just one baby. I need twins. I need two contracts. I need a contract for Trent Williams and a contract for Brandon Ayuk.
But get them back on the damn field. You're right. And that's why I keep going real quick, Evan. Get your books in order. And for Mike Silver to say they knew that your boy Trent Williams had been, you know, feeling some type of way about his... Like, this should have been handled.
It should have been, but it's also just, it's what the 49ers do. But I do wonder how people saw that video yesterday. Also, not just the news today. Look, people are tweeting out that a deal is imminent. You know, a move is imminent from the 49ers. People are interpreting the video as, you know, maybe he's saying his goodbyes. I certainly am not interpreting it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you.
888-957-9570 is the number. Does the deal with Brandon Ayuk get done today? I don't think it... I'm not sure it gets done today, but I feel very confident that it will get done and that Ayuk is going to be a 49er.
And I do wonder where that'll place him amongst the ranks of the top receivers. DJ Moore, you know, getting his deal yesterday. I do wonder when it's all said and done and the dust settles, assuming he's still here, Evan, what that number's going to be.
What that number's going to be?
For Brandon Ayuk. You got it?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought
Sorry.
I was like, Evan got breaking news.
No, people are texting me. Leave me alone, okay? Leave me alone right now.
What are
they doing? Well, they're just sending things that, you know, may or may not be true. I don't have time to vet things while I'm on the air. So if someone tells me that the Niners have made a trade, I don't know. Is that for Ayuk? Is that for another player? I don't know. Did they trade... I don't know, for Ray McLeod, did they get him back? Like, I don't have time to look at these things, okay?
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
No. Wow, boy.
Well, his ghost.
He looks horrible right now, bro, in Dallas. He's throwing picks left and right.
I thought he was your guy.
I thought too, but he, man.
Number four.
Have you seen any videos of him in practice, Evan? Just throwing it to the linebacker like there's not even a receiver. Like, oh, bud. Oh, boy.
Well, I haven't seen the video this year, but I think I saw plenty of videos of that last year.
I'll give you two on that.
Last couple
but
of years.
But they're gremlins. He's doing the same thing in the Lone Star State. They're actually at Oxnard. But, man, I'm rooting for him, but, boy, it looks rough.
Well, that's why it's – okay, so Trey Lance has looked terrible in practice.
Yeah, all right, here you go. You make me feel better.
So is Brock Purdy.
All right.
But I don't care about it. It doesn't mean much to me, but it means something when a player that we have – labeled as either a bust or kind of being down bad on, when they do poorly, that's not good. Like, for example, okay, how much does practice matter for Dak Prescott for you?
Not much at all. Guy's season like that, nothing.
Okay, so on Tuesday, he threw 9 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, 27 nothing to the Packers at home in the playoffs. But go ahead.
Okay, fair, yeah. Right? That's fair.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to practice at all for me.
No, and in fact, Aaron Rodgers has spoken openly about using training camp to make mistakes, to try to experiment, to try to do the things that it sounds like Brock Purdy's trying to do right now.
And isn't that the essence of the word practice, Evan? That's where you try stuff and you make mistakes that don't kill you or hurt you or your brethren. But you do it to work on stuff to get better at. So when you do use it or try to use it in the game, you're ready.
Well, yeah, and that's why when we've seen the high level that's established by Brock Purdy, it makes me not really care much about practice. But for someone like Trey Lance, where you haven't seen much of him in game for various reasons, then I think people do take a lot away from practice. I mean, like, I don't think fans of the Detroit Lions really care about Jared Goff. He's only thrown 1 interception so far in training camp. He's been lights out. Do they really care about that? Probably not. But does it mean that you just dismiss when or if he starts to throw picks? Like, the goal is to protect the ball. The goal is to not give it to the other team, in addition, obviously, to scoring. So Brock Purdy has protected the ball better than many quarterbacks around the league. Some of it might be because of Shanahan. I think a lot of it is also just because that's what he's good at. He knows how to protect the football. His first season, he only threw 4 picks. He threw 4 picks the other day in practice. I would like to imagine that there's a reason behind that, you know?
Yeah, and if you're missing your starting left tackle and one of your starting wideouts, that's enough right there. But as far as protecting the ball, that's been one of his attributes that you like. So, you know, this has been an offseason for Brock Purdy to where, you talked about it earlier, Evan, it's all mental. He doesn't have to work on the rehab, coming back from the wrecked elbow. Now he can dissect, look, watch film, even try to fit some balls into tight places. But it's all football related. It's not him coming back and fans being worried about how that elbow is going to respond. So I expect, nobody asked, but I expect Brock Purdy to be Brock Purdy of the last 2 years or year and a half that we've seen him. And I don't know where the season's going to end, Evan, but I expect him to reset the quarterback market when it's time, because that bill's coming due.
See, I expect him to be better. I do expect Brock Purdy to be better this season. He hasn't played much football. I mean, he's played 25 games in the NFL. That's, you know, 1.5 seasons. Right. That's not a lot. He's accomplished a lot in those 1.5 seasons. But he hasn't played much NFL football compared to his peers and the guys that are also getting paid. And outside of perhaps
more.
Jordan Love.
Yeah, done a lot more than a lot of those guys.
He has done a lot more. But I do think that it's reasonable to expect him to be better this season. Like, I mean, seriously. Why would I expect Brock Purdy to be worse than he was last year?
I don't have that answer. Now, if you don't have a Brandon Ayuk, that would contribute, but I don't expect that to be the case.
No, and that's why Trent Williams is important, because he's the best piece of Brock Purdy's protection. In fact, he might be the most notable and only big boy, literally, on that line that I trust right now. You know, they're trying, and they're using Trent Williams' absence to develop other prospects, and there's more reps for, you know, a rookie like Dominic Pooney or, you know, Jalen Moore, other players that might at some point be asked to step up and step in, because Trent Williams has also never played a full season in the last 10 years. He hasn't missed a ton of games some seasons, but he's never played a full 16 or 17 since 2013. So odds are you're not going to have Trent Williams for one or a couple of games.
Right.
That's where you need offensive line depth. They are trying to figure out how much depth they have. I'm just afraid, and this is also kind of a symptom of teams that pay a lot of players or pay a few highly paid players, is you naturally lose your depth. You know, I think the Niners a few years ago in the 2021 season, they lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship game. But one of the reasons they were able to get there in the first place is because they had so much more depth. You know, they didn't have to spend a ton of money on quarterback. They didn't have to spend at the time a ton of money on Debo. They didn't have to pay Nick Bosa yet. So they had a lot more players and a lot more depth. This is a very top-heavy team now. And so if one of those players is missing, then their absence is going to be highlighted even more.
And that's welcome to the new NFL. You laid it out. And that's why I say, Evan, everybody wants to win, but you can't. But at the end of the day, the Niners, since 2019, have been close. To me, they've been the better team in the Super Bowl twice, up 10. They didn't get it done, but it's why you want to win then and kind of cash that chip in. And you are right. There's going to be casualties because they've built something. They don't have anything to show for it from a Super Bowl standpoint and parades. But at the end of the day, you're going to lose guys. You can't pay everybody. So they're in that boat now, pretty much, but without the bling. And to me, that's what stings. And maybe they get it done this year.
Well, you would certainly hope that you can get it done this year. And look, we're keeping our eyes out for everything Brandon Ayuk related, everything Trent Williams related, because those two players are currently looking for deals. Ayuk's looking for an extension. Trent Williams is looking for a contract restructure. Hopefully in 45 minutes, we'll have more clarity on that. Jennifer Lee Chan joins us via the River Islands guest line. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Also, you know, I do want to kind of figure out, you know, what else has been going on in camp outside of the big names. Yeah. You know, there's been opportunities. We've seen Pearsall finally on the field. It looks like the secondary has made some strides, and they look like they could be a much improved group this year, specifically the cornerbacks. You know, so how do the 49ers, how does the defense look different than last year? Does it feel different with Brandon Staley? Nick Sorensen, the new DC, or one of them, spoke yesterday about how Brandon Staley is going to be in the booth.
Wow, man.
So remember, a big talking point last year was, is Wilkes going to be in the booth? Is he going to be on the sideline? Well, it sounds like they're going to have, you know, they're kind of co-DCs essentially, one and the other.
Why do I hate that, Evan? It's like it's one man's defense, right? It's Sorensen's defense.
It should be.
But now I'm thinking, you know, again, the more the merrier, but I'm thinking, okay, at what juncture? Because the more experienced guy in calling defense is your guy Staley, and he was great at it as the DC.
But sure,
I just think there's going to come a point, and I'm not saying it's going to cost him games. This season we come in here, let's just say the defense is not playing well, and then we're like, well, how much is – what's Brandon doing? How is he calling the plays? I just hate when it's not one guy. You know what I mean? Like Robert Saleh, it was his. And D'Amico Ryans, it was his. And I'm not saying it's not Sorensen, but when I see an experienced guy and I'm hearing news about Staley in the booth, I do wonder, you know, are they co-calling plays? How's the dynamic?
Well, I don't think they're co-calling plays, but I think that having eyes in the sky, so to speak, is beneficial. I mean, Staley is, I think they've also described Staley as being somebody to more help schematically during the week, creating the plan, but not actually being the one to make the in-game calls or make the adjustments. Because even though he was good at it in Los Angeles with the Rams, he was not very good at it
right.
In Los Angeles with the Chargers. And that's a big reason why he's no longer their head coach. But Kyle Shanahan, I think, has the utmost confidence in Sorensen, and the familiarity with him is a big part of it. You know, again, chemistry is huge. Even when you have all the talent in the world, you need guys to be on the same page. And I think that's also maybe why Brock Purdy has thrown a couple of these interceptions, is because he's trying to get on the same page with all of his playmakers.
Yeah. And
the ones that he has.
Yeah, no doubt. Evan, I'll say this about that. It's kind of funny when I look at the Giants and Gabe Kapler and the Pessoy problem, allegedly. You know, he's gone, and now the Giants still haven't gotten better. Wilkes was the poster child for what was wrong with that defense. Again, didn't have any pads or a helmet. And what bothers me just about the whole playoff run for the 49ers under Wilkes from a defensive standpoint is that Detroit game. They came back, won the game. But, Evan, it was so strange to watch that unit defensively for the Niners give everything they had and got a 10-point lead on Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. The team collectively couldn't close it. But I do wonder, okay, Wilkes is gone. Bosa threw him under the bus a few times. So did the fans. I do wonder if Sorensen, with no Greenlaw to start this season, you know, how this unit responds and how they look. And the secondary is a big part of that. But if, you know, a secondary's best friend, Evan, is a pass rush, and if somehow Bosa can't get help and we don't see Hargrave, you know, wreck shop, what kind of defense without Greenlaw is this Niner unit going to be? I'm interested. And they got a tough task week one against A-Rod and the Jets.
They do. Another aging quarterback. And it's funny you bring up Rodgers, because The other big news surrounding Purdy this week was not about his play on the field. It was his comments on our Odyssey podcast, the TK Show, with Tim Kawakami. And that's what was brought up by Kyle Shanahan, by Brock Purdy, this idea of a legendary quarterback maybe being the guy. And that was Tom Brady. So, you know, I do want to get into these comments because I think they're interesting. Like, Kyle Shanahan said that the only guy that he was going to potentially replace Brock Purdy with coming off of injury when there was less clarity was the GOAT, was Tom Brady, who would have been, I think, age 45 at that point. Other than that, it was Brock's job. You know, he said he wasn't competing with Trey. He wasn't competing with anybody else. They'd bring him on the roster. There was only one dude that they'd go to, and it was Tom Brady. And Kyle Shanahan said that he thought it was a compliment to Brock Purdy. Well, Brock Purdy responded a couple days ago, and here's what he had to say about Shanahan and Tom Brady.
How I took it was, you know, I understand. I was hurt, and there wasn't really a certainty as to when exactly I'd be back. Would I be back for the season? Would it be midway through the season? Like, who knows at that time? And so I totally understood, like, the fact of Kyle and the team needed a quarterback for next season. And so when he said Tom Brady, I'm like, all right, you know, that's cool for your sake as, you know, a quarter or as a head coach and for a team to bring in, you know, the best of all time. But yeah, a little bit of me was like, all right, well, I just proven that I beat this guy, you know, this past year and that I'm good enough to, you know, take our team to, you know, at the time it was an NFC championship. And so, there was a little bit to me where I was like, you know, I can obviously be the guy for this organization. So like, why not? But given the circumstances of me being hurt and, like having some certainty at quarterback, I understand why, he, you know, was willing to have that as a thought.
Yeah. So Brock Purdy says he's understanding. I also think that Brock Purdy is a competitor, and publicly in the aftermath, after solidifying himself as, you know, a top five MVP candidate, after being maybe statistically the most efficient quarterback in the league last year, getting to the brink of a Super Bowl, he feels comfortable in saying, yeah, I would have been cool with that.
Yeah, and But his elbow was wrecked. There was no, you know what I mean? Like, there was no assurance that this guy was going to come back and just from a physical standpoint, you know, be the same. So I just got to give kudos to Kyle for being honest and keeping it 100, as the kids say, and having that conversation with him. But Evan, I guess my ego, let go of my ego, not ego, it wouldn't have been hit because I was hurt. And the uncertainty of me coming back, being able to grip a football, and chuck it, was, I could understand the wandering eye or trying to fire on Tom Brady. And I would also tell young Brock, this was the second time that Kyle was flirting with Brock, because the first time cost him a Super Bowl. That Tampa Bay Super Bowl could have been a Niner Super Bowl, perhaps, but Kyle was in on Jimmy thinking, okay, well, Jimmy's looking the part. But I guess the fact that your boy Brock was hurt, Evan, my ego wouldn't have been hit as much, because I'd have been like, damn, the uncertainty of my future, it's real. And Brock showed us it wasn't, because he came back, but...
Well, I personally don't think it would have been the right choice.
Like, well, you can't prove that.
No, I can't. Yeah. But I think that Kyle Shanahan wanted Tom Brady primarily because he felt like he missed out on him in 2021.
Facts.
Yeah. Or after the 2019 Super Bowl.
Tom got a Super Bowl attempt.
Exactly. That's why he wanted him 4 years later. I don't think it was... I mean, sure, Tom Brady was... You know, a couple years removed from leading the league, I think, in touchdown passes, he could still clearly play.
But what about the damage to Brock?
Yeah, he didn't know about it.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but then how come Tom Brady was the only guy that you were willing to go out and get an insurance policy on? If Brock Purdy was, if he was really that big of a question mark, and you were wondering if he was going to be healthy, available, all the rest, well, apparently you weren't ready to hand the keys to Trey Lance, and I don't blame him for that. But then why was Tom Brady the only insurance policy you're willing to take out? That doesn't seem very intelligent to me. Mm. That doesn't seem like a Kyle Shanahan, who I believe to be a forward-thinking individual, especially with a game of football. And I feel like you would have had hands in more pots if you actually believe that Brock Purdy was not going to be ready by week one.
Well, it goes to what you just said. He was scorned. He was burned, or he felt, Kyle, that is, not firing or going in on Tom Brady when he had the chance. And that's what that was, residue of what we now can say, but, you know, 4 years ago was a mistake. Because if you think about it, maybe you do win that Super Bowl with Brady and not Garoppolo.
Yeah, but I think it was a mistake to not obviously go get Brady instead of Jimmy G. That's shown to be true. But I don't think it was a mistake. It would have been a mistake if they had brought in Tom Brady last year, in my opinion. He had retired. He was coming off a season in which he had shown himself to be a much diminished quarterback. He was 45 years old. Like, do you think they win the Super Bowl last year if Tom Brady's quarterback in the Niners team?
Man,
I don't.
I was waiting on you for
I
that one.
Do not. Okay. I'm sorry.
But you know what? I got to give Yoda, and I'm calling Brady Yoda, I got to give him the respect to think, damn, Evan, maybe he changes the blocking assignments at the line of scrimmage when your boy came, Chris Jones came unleashed. You know, maybe he would have saw something that young Brock didn't see, and you call a timeout on that third down to where if you get a first down, you bleed the clock, kick a field goal, and you win. So I do get the premise of, goo, he's coming off. Come on, man. A dude was at home with the kids. But I can't rob the greatness
wife.
Of Tom, that's a four, of Tom Brady to say the way that game played out, maybe his experience could have got him that dub.
Yeah, no, we are giving him the benefit of the doubt because he's the greatest winner ever.
Yeah.
I saw a quarterback that was not it. I saw a quarterback. You remember who Brock Purdy first beat as a starter?
I want to say Tua.
Tom Brady. His first game was against Miami.
Okay, all right, I got you.
The following week was against Tom Terrific at home.
Yeah, you're right.
He absolutely waxed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think threw four touchdowns that game.
That got ugly.
Like, Brock Purdy, his first start against the GOAT, wiped his you-know-what with him. Yeah. Like, seriously, that's what we're talking about. If you bring up the whole head-to-head deal with Brock Purdy, he's gone through Dak. He's beaten this guy. He's beaten that guy. The only guy he hasn't beat is Mahomes.
Yeah.
He beat Tom Brady his first start as a starter. So you can't tell me that. Again, the emphasis from Shanahan was on Purdy being hurt. My question is, well, if he was really that damaged and you had that many questions about his elbow, which would be fair, why was Tom Brady the only quarterback that you were willing to go out and get? That's why I think that Kyle was stuck in the past, and he thought about what he could have had, what he didn't have, and what he still doesn't have, which is a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, because he damn sure wasn't going to Trey Lance.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, I
think that was the correct choice.
Yeah, I get it, but I do understand. Like, Evan, I just can't tell you how that Tampa Bay Super Bowl, from a Tom Brady standpoint, what it did to me as far as, like, are you kidding me? You're really going to Tampa Bay? Not that you're going. You guys ain't winning a damn thing. And to win a bowl, like, that's incredible. So I kind of don't blame Kyle for, you know, not getting that out of his system, as that was the one that got away. And if you would have fired early, maybe we're talking about us getting the second Super Bowl under Kyle.
And again, this is from the TK Show, an Odyssey podcast original. Brock Purdy talking about it. And Kyle was trying to motivate him with Tom Brady.
I think we were just having an honest conversation about the whole thing. I think that when he was bringing that up, it was when it was before surgery. It was before I even had surgery or anything, so we had no idea of what my timeline was like or anything. But, yeah, there was the competitive side of it for me. I was like, dude, I just, you know, proved for, you know, 8-9 games that I can be the guy for this organization. But at the same time, they need a guy for next year if I wasn't able to make it back in time.
If he was the guy, if he wasn't the guy, why was Tom Brady the only guy? That's all I'm asking. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Go ahead and download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Also, make sure to join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by Adco Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.